commentators across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Kahn.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
This week's a light week at the movie house because we're going to be just talking about Playing for Keeps. That's the only movie that's opening wide. We're also going to be talking about Hitchcock, which opened about a month ago, but we haven't really talked about it. We've been promising we're going to talk about it, but we're finally going to talk about it this week because...
Yes. There's nothing else to talk about.
Nothing else is in the theaters. It's the
week
after.
Although we can come up with plenty of things.
We can make stuff up.
We can discuss soap again.
Well, sure we can. That's always fun. We're also going to be talking about DVD and Blu-ray reviews. We're also going to talk about box office because we were oddly... Together we made a great prediction.
Yes.
Yes.
We make a great team.
We do. We should just start our own website about box office predictions.
Right.
Because we said, now I believe I said that Breaking Dawn was going to get $15 million, mm-hmm. and you said Skyfall at $17 million
yes.
was going to win. Breaking Dawn took the weekend,
mm-hmm.
barely, by $17.4 million. Skyfall dead on the money, $17
yes.
million. Well, that's around it. It was like $16.5 million, but we're gonna give it to you.
Cut me some slack here.
So that's
I'm
actually
new to
pretty
this.
Good. You know, we should be hired by Hollywood to figure out what their numbers are going to be. But yeah, so Breaking Dawn and Skyfall, and then, it was Rise of the Guardians kind of squeaked just barely above Lincoln. So it was almost this three-peat of those three in a row because mm-hmm. Lincoln's been sitting there. But like Rise of the Guardians and Lincoln both made $13.4 million, which is a good hold for Rise of the Guardians.
Yeah.
It didn't start off too well, so it's a little bit behind. But a great hold for Lincoln. I mean, Lincoln's at like $84 million.
That's impressive.
Doing extremely well at the box office, which surprises me. Because as good of a movie as it is, you never think that a big, long, talking movie is going to do well.
No, not really.
If it does, it's always this time of year that works.
It's always this time of year.
And considering that War Horse, which was Spielberg's award bait film last year, did not do so well. I loved War Horse.
See, I didn't love it.
I loved it. But but it did not do as well. But Lincoln
I
is doing
Lincoln.
Much better. Lincoln's fantastic. Then there's also Life of Pi at $12 million. It's almost at $50 million total. Wreck-It Ralph at $7 million. Killing Them Softly, which was the big movie from last week, came in at number 7 with $6.8 million, which is a calamity. It's, I think, the only Brad Pitt movie where he stars in it and opened in 600 screens or more. It's the only one that's ever made less than $10 million.
And really, that $7 million was probably, you know, what he made from that movie.
Yeah, it probably covers his
salary.
Well,
we made Brad Pitt's salary back.
Yeah. Well, and I think Cool World, way back in the early 90s, Cool World did not make $10 million. And I think that's the only other Brad Pitt movie, Brad Pitt vehicle, basically, that didn't make. But even back then, he was nobody. Nobody knew who he was.
Not really, no.
And it's also, but you know what? Here's the thing. This is what Andrew Dominik can take home, because he's not taking home any money. He can take home the knowledge that this is almost twice as much as what The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford made for its entire theatrical run.
Wow.
Yeah. It made $3.9 million domestically.
That's it. Wow.
Yeah, that was not good. But it got Academy Award nominations and stuff like that, but I don't think this one's going to.
I sure hope not.
I got an awards package from Weinstein's.
And seriously, for that movie?
No. It had like Silver Lining Playbook, and it had The Master. It did not have Killing Them Softly.
Okay, good.
So, also didn't have Django in it, but I didn't expect that. That doesn't come out until Christmas.
Yes. It would be nice if they did.
Yeah.
But no.
Red Dawn made $6.5 million, bringing its total to $31 million. What's interesting with that is the original Red... That's not yet what the original Red Dawn made. The original Red Dawn made like $40-some million. And the original Red Dawn cost about $6.5 million.
There you go.
This one cost about $30-some million.
Yeah.
That's what's going to be the downfall of Red Dawn. If it cost what the last one made, it'd be a huge profit. It's going to barely squeak by. Flight, and then The Collection came in at number 10, just barely made number 10 with $3.1 million, which...
Now, you saw this one now, right?
Yeah, I finally saw it.
You went over the weekend and saw it.
Yeah. It wasn't good. Now, see, I liked The Collection. I saw this last week. It was The Collector I liked because it was kind of interesting and different take on it. The Collection went bigger and dumber.
That's often how it works in the sequel.
That's sequels for you. Yeah. And it was ridiculous because it had like this guy, this insane killer, and he did all these traps and stuff. And I mean, it was kind of ludicrous in the Saw movies. He's like, who has time? This guy has cancer. Why do you have so much time to build these traps for people?
Really, what else? You know, it's not like you're working on building your career anymore.
No, no, it's just, it's
you
just,
know, now you're just getting that legacy.
Your legacy of chopping people up. Yeah. Yeah, but the collection did not do well. It did twice as much as the collector did in its opening weekend, but I think they're expecting more. They're hoping for more. That's what you get for opening something after Thanksgiving, a grisly horror movie after Thanksgiving. Carve up the turkey, carve up some young kids. Anna Karenina, which we reviewed last week, made $2.2 million. It's doing okay. I don't think it's going to go much more beyond that. It's supposed to get a wide release.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. It's just not the big box office kind of movie.
No.
So
I think Joe Wright had a certain sort of push with his last couple films, you know, Hannah.
Mm-hmm.
Atonement had a click to it, but not so much. Anyways, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. You can get a hold of us. You can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. And you can leave us voicemail at 740-205-6456. You can find us on the web at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. And you can get us on Twitter. I'm twitter.com/KevinCarr. You are?
KDK Reviews.
Yeah, that's right. And you also have your websites.
And nightsandweekends.com and realdiscovery.org.
Yes, so you can check that out if you want to hear more of what Kristen has to say, if you think I talk too much.
But yes, no, nobody would ever think that.
I never talk too much.
No.
I talk just enough. Anyways, we are going to talk a little bit about somebody talking to us. We got actually some listener feedback.
Yes.
In the form of an iTunes review. So this is kind of cool. It's a 5-star review, which is awesome. And it's by Dreaming Samurai, which is pretty amazing that there's a Dreaming Samurai that listens to us.
That's awesome.
So
maybe we have some ninjas, too.
Ooh,
you think we have ninjas listening to our show?
I hope so. I hope we have Wookiee Yeti Santa ninjas from Rise of the Guardians. Anyways, we're not going to read the whole review. It's actually kind of a long review, and it's very positive. It's great stuff. But here's some excerpts. As a longtime listener of the show, I have to admit that for the first time listeners, Kevin Carr might come off as a bit too strong.
No, really?
To say the least. But to say the least. No, he just is like, yeah, it's wrong. Yeah, he's a jerk. But to be honest, most of his points are valid and usually backed up. When it comes to box office, I've yet to find one that comes as close to his predictions on other movie.
Well,
on other movie shows, which is great. I mean, that's awesome. And as you can tell here with Kristen and me, we are the new team for predicting box office.
Box office ninjas.
That's right. Ooh, box office. Why'd you say that on the air? Now we can't go. Let's go reserve that domain.
Okay.
I'm sure it's probably already taken. He talks a little bit. He also goes on. Dreaming Samurai continues talking about Neil Miller, and you're not sure why he left the show. We'll go into that. We're actually going to be releasing a bonus episode on our website.
It was late at night, and we woke up the next morning and realized that it didn't make any sense.
And we listened to it, and we're like, blah, 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 blah. So
it's award season for you.
We'll explain what happened, that there were no alligators in the magical studio in the sky or anything like that.
Neil Miller is still in one piece.
Neil Miller's
doing
still
well.
Yes, he's doing well. Dreaming Samurai continues. He says, but things are looking up now that we have Kristen Dreyer Kramer as the permanent co-host of the show. Not sure when this happened. It seemed to come out of the blue. Again, we'll talk a little bit about that. You can go to the Fat Guys in the Movie site to learn more about that, and we'll have that releasing sometime around Christmas, just to give everyone the background as to why things change and fluctuations we've had. She's someone who seems equal to Kevin's sense of humor.
Well,
good for you. That's always what everyone aspires to. And she's someone who actually watches the movies that come out each week.
I do.
Neil ended up
for better often, or for worse.
Neil didn't always watch the movies. He was kind of busy running a website. But yeah, he says, with this, I have high expectations for things to come. And he's a long time
so
listener.
So much pressure.
I'm saying he. It could be a female Dreaming Samurai. So, but thank you so much for giving
thank
us a review.
Thank you very much. Yes.
It's always nice to get feedback. If you want to write us a review, you can email us, or you can go to iTunes and search Fat Guys at the Movies and review us up there. 5-star reviews are always nice.
Yeah, we'll take them.
But that's about it. I think that's it for this segment. We talked about box office. Next, we're going to be talking about Playing for Keeps, and we're also going to be talking about Hitchcock. So we will talk to you in a couple minutes.
and welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We just got done talking about a few things, box office numbers, yes, and
awesome,
some listener feedback, which was awesome.
Because it's you.
Hey, he said some good things about you, too.
That's true.
Or she.
Yeah. He or she, Samurai. But yeah, he was like, yes, oh, Kristen Dreyer Kramer, she's going to save the show.
Oh.
Yay. Yes. the ceiling just opened in the Magical Studio in the Sky, and a big light, like in a Mr. Bean episode, came down on Kristen. So it's very good to have Kristen on the show. I think we're doing a good job here.
It is fun to be here. Good. I enjoy it every week.
Yay.
So now we should actually talk about some movies.
Yes,
this week.
Talk about movies that
even
open
though
up.
There's nothing going on this weekend at the box office.
It's sort of like last weekend where we've had a 2 week lull here because,
and this happens this time of year.
Yeah. Well, everyone throws everything in Thanksgiving and then they throw everything at Christmas. And so right now we have these 2 weeks that are sort of these phantom weeks that either have your small releases or ones that nobody thinks are going to do well.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about a movie that already has been out for a while.
In some places.
Yeah, it's sort of in this rollout. I think it's opening in our hometown. It's going to be opening this week, I believe. Is it this week or last week?
I think
week
so. I think this week. Yep.
And that would be Hitchcock, in which famed director Alfred Hitchcock battles Hollywood to make the new film Psycho in hopes of breathing new life in his career.
Good afternoon. This book, Psycho, is fiendishly entertaining.
Mr. Hitchcock, you're the most famous director in the history of the medium, but you're 60 years old. Shouldn't you just quit while you're ahead?
He's going out of his mind looking for his next project.
I need something fresh, something different.
It was the knife that, a moment later, cut off her scream and her head. Charming. Doris Day should do it as a musical.
This one, I think it opened November 15th, limited, but it's sort of eking out into different screens mm-hmm. around the country. Yep. So depending on where you're located, you may or may not be able to see this, but we thought we'd get this reviewed. What do you think, Kristen?
I think it wasn't what I was expecting.
Okay. Well, first of all, what were you expecting?
So, because it takes place during the making of Psycho, which the original title talked about Alfred Hitchcock and the making of Psycho.
Yeah.
So, but this movie isn't really about the making of Psycho.
Yeah.
It's more about the relationship between Alfred Hitchcock and his wife, who is played by Helen Mirren. Yeah.
During the making of Psycho.
Right. Yeah. So there is the Psycho stuff going on in the background, which to me is the most interesting part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you have where it came from and all of the little things that went on the set and all of the politics involved. And to me, that's fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
But the movie really focuses more on the relationship, which I think, you know, is an interesting relationship. And a lot of biopics have been doing this lately. You know, they have such interesting people and they focus on some love story. And you're like, but this is actually an interesting one. So I still enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's one of those films that every year there's always that handful of films where you're like, well, this is just exists to get this person a nomination. Usually that movie is a George Clooney film, but
that's true.
the one I remember,
or Hilary Swank,
or Hilary Swank, or Colin Firth, and that's who I would. I remember the movie, A Single Man.
Okay, yep.
Which was a fine film, but it existed for no other reason than to get him an Academy Award nomination. Mm-hmm. That would be Colin Firth, because no one remembers this movie.
I do. It was Tom Ford, and it was pretty.
It was it was fine. It was fine for what it was, but
yeah, it wasn't an unforgettable kind of film.
No. Yeah. And that's what this is. This is basically Anthony Hopkins going to get an award nomination as Alfred Hitchcock. And in that respect, I think he did a fantastic job.
It's an interesting role because it's difficult to play Hitchcock without making it feel like an impersonation.
Yeah.
Because he's such a quirky character.
Yeah.
So, you know, he does a really good job of it, but at the same time, you're like, he can't be serious. Really?
I compared it, when I actually wrote my review, I compared it to Meryl Streep when she did Margaret Thatcher and Julia Child.
Yes.
Both of those are very, it's very hard to do Julia Child without being like, oh, I'm Julia Child.
Exactly.
And then Margaret Thatcher, same thing. And Alfred Hitchcock, how do you get past the good evening?
Right.
You know, it'd be like doing a Bela Lugosi performance.
Exactly.
And when Martin Landau did Bela Lugosi and Ed Wood, I think he transcended the caricature.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Meryl Streep transcended the character. I don't think Anthony Hopkins transcends as high.
Yeah, I would agree.
But I think he does. I think he does manage to put a certain level of reality so it doesn't feel like it's just this quirky little Alfred Hitchcock impersonation from Saturday Night Live.
Right. And I think that's part of what Helen Mirren brings to the movie, because she doesn't have any of those preconceived notions about her.
Yeah.
So it's not a character that you know and you've seen and she's crazy. She's a little more human, so she grounds it a little bit more.
She totally does. And it's Helen Mirren, and she does kind of give that...
She's wonderful. I love Helen Mirren.
She does a stock Helen Mirren role, but it works.
But she's good in it.
She's so charming. And there are some good performances in it. And it's part of the thing is Hollywood's very narcissistic, and Hollywood stares at its own navel all the time.
Huh. I didn't know that.
And whenever you have a movie that's about Hollywood, Hollywood just loves it.
It's true.
Because it's about them.
Mm-hmm.
But it does sort of take that veneer off of the glitz and glamour of Hollywood, where it makes it sort of depressing, sort of like if you've seen those things where you like watch behind the scenes of the Muppets, and suddenly they show where all the puppets are sitting there and they have no life to them and they're dead. That's kind of how I feel that these kind of movies do when they pull back that veil and you're like, oh, this is just a crappy little business that people are running.
I went on that tour at Disney World, but you know, it was still good, so I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I saw some characters out of costume and it was awesome.
Crazy. But yeah, I liked Hitchcock, but I really think it's really just there. I mean, it had a neat soundtrack, and it was neat to see the background of Psycho, but it does kind of just, it is a bit mundane.
Yeah, it's not really anything special. It's just entertaining.
So, the official Fat Guys grade?
Kind of rocks.
I'm kind of on a kind of rocks too there. I won't be surprised if he's nominated.
No, yeah.
I think he'll get a nomination.
I agree.
But he won't.
Because he's Anthony Hopkins. And really, when's the last time he did something that deserved a nomination?
What,
throw him a bone!
Not that movie with Chris Rock. Didn't he do a movie? Didn't he do an action movie with Chris Rock?
Did he do an action movie with Chris Rock?
Did a Jerry Bruckheimer action movie like in 2002. I forget what it was. Anyways, you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Chris and Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. We're going to talk a little bit about our favorite Alfred Hitchcock movies now, because we just reviewed Hitchcock, and why not? I mean, why not look back at the classics? So I want to ask you, what's your favorite? Do you have a favorite, or do you have kind of like a three or?
I have a few.
Okay.
But I do have a favorite.
Okay.
And it's not one of the typical ones.
Okay.
Because, you know, you have that collection that, you know, every year people talk about Hitchcock movies and their scary movies. And, you know, they pull out all the classic Hitchcock movies, and mine isn't one of them.
Yours is Rebecca, right?
Yes.
Am I right?
You are right, because we've talked about this before.
I just thought it was you, because that seems such a... That does,
does it seem like a me movie?
Yeah.
I love it. It is my favorite movie. In fact, that's one of those movies that actually pulled me into film in the first place.
Really?
It is. Because I was home from work and I was sick one day, and I had the flu, and I turned on AMC, and that movie came on, and I was just blown away. And I've seen it a million times since then. It's just one of those movies that has the atmosphere and the story and the characters, and it's just
crazy housekeeper.
Yes,
is insane.
And yeah, so that's always been one of my favorites.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I did like that. I recently saw that. My favorite. Psycho's way up there, and I love Psycho, but Rear Window's really my favorite.
That's my number two. I have it on my list right here.
That's where it's really into suspense. I also love The Trouble with Harry, just because I think it's funny. It's a good comedy.
For me, Notorious is up there, too.
Notorious? Yeah, that's a good one. And then the other one I want to throw out there really quick in the last couple of seconds, Rope. I saw that for the first time.
I haven't seen it.
This year when they did Silent House, because it kind of has that same continuous shot. And, of course, they had to do it in the film, so. But yeah, Rope is there as well. We gotta go, but when we come back, we're gonna be talking about Playing for Keeps. And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We were talking a little bit about our favorite Hitchcock movies, and felt really rushed at the end of the last segment. So wanted to sort of top off this beer stein with a couple more.
All right.
You've never seen Rope.
I've never seen it.
It's a neat movie because it is based simply on the fact that there's a body in the room and only like two people two people in the movie know that there's the body, and then it's waiting to see if somebody finds it.
Hmm.
And it's done in these 9-minute segments because, of course, you only had so much reel, you know, and they, it's meant to look like a continuous shot. And for what it is, it works that way.
Hmm.
But that's a neat one. And like I said, I saw that because Silent House came out earlier this year.
And the whole Hitchcock collection just came out, too.
Yeah.
Which is one thing that it's on my Christmas list, but I think it's a little over budget. So
isn't it like $300?
Three, maybe. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, yeah, probably won't be getting that.
You know what I have to say, and this is a little bit of a irritates me a bit about, and Universal does this.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who did the Hitchcock collection. They did the Universal Monsters collection. They are overpricing their sets. Like the Bond set is like $300 retail. You can usually find it for a cheaper price. But that has 22 movies in it.
Yeah.
Like the Universal Monster has like 8 discs and it's like $200.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
It's a little bit too much.
And but, I would like to get this. But yeah for $300-$400, it's not going to happen.
What I find so funny about Hitchcock is that people say, oh, the Master of Suspense, and that was his nickname.
Mm-hmm.
And they point that out during the movie Hitchcock. But that was it. Sort of, he had a huge career before he did Psycho, and he had stuff. I think he even did stuff in like the Silent Era and stuff like that. So
he
was not just some guy who showed up in the 50s.
He had a 50-year career.
Yeah,
and made over 50 movies.
Yeah, a lot of films, and a lot of his movies aren't necessarily suspense. They can fall like Rebecca. You mentioned Rebecca. That's a great example. I wouldn't call that a suspense movie.
A little bit, but yeah.
It has tense moments.
It's
but
eerie.
Yeah. And movies like Spellbound, which has some suspense, but isn't as taught as something like Vertigo. Vertigo in Psycho are the real suspense ones.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even like North by Northwest is more of a political thriller than any sort of suspense. I wouldn't peg it as a suspense film.
No.
So.
And there are movies like To Catch a Thief.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of a fun caper kind of thing.
He is now so defined with Psycho. And from Psycho, you then had The Birds.
Right.
And then he had stuff like Family Plot and Frenzy, which, you know, not a whole lot of people acknowledge. But he had that 1-2 punch of Psycho and The Birds.
Right.
That galvanized him now.
Mm-hmm.
And he had some suspense in the 50s, but like The Trouble with Harry, which is...
Right.
It's a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny, funny movie. So, yeah, it's interesting to see how he's remembered and how people don't remember, like, all the other stuff he does that really...
Right, yeah. And that's one of those things that when I first saw Rebecca, I was like, what? This is Alfred Hitchcock, but it's black and white, and it's an old movie, and, you know, this isn't Psycho.
Yeah.
So...
There's no stalking in Rebecca. There's...
A little bit.
A little bit, but it's...
It's different.
It's intrigue, I think, would be a little more.
That's a good word, yeah.
So, anyways, enough about that hack Alfred Hitchcock. Yeah. Let's talk about somebody else as you listen to.
Oh, yeah, because this is an exciting one to talk about.
Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer, Kramer, and Kevin Carr. We're going to be talking about the real master of suspense, which is Gerard Butler. What are we talking about here, Kristen?
We are talking about Playing for Keeps, in which Gerard Butler stars as a former soccer star who moves to a small town to be closer to his son and ends up coaching his soccer team.
Ooh. Who's the new soccer coach?
Stacy's ex, the soccer player.
You were a great, great player.
Dreyer with a shot.
So what are you doing with your time now, post-soccer?
And now for CSA Sports.
You ever think what it might have been like if I'd screwed all up?
All the time, I wondered. You were the most exciting thing that ever happened to me, George.
Are you sad Mom's getting married?
Yeah, my mom seems like a nice guy.
I've decided I'm not going to call him Dad.
All right, we didn't see this movie.
No, for a good reason, probably.
Well, what's funny is the way screenings work in our town is we have a publicity office, and they set up the screenings, and usually a couple weeks ahead of time, I'm emailing them, and I'm like, hey, are you going to screen this? Are you going to screen this? It's oftentimes knowing full well what the answer is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
And so I sent an email, and I'm like, are you guys screening Playing for Keeps? And we got the response was almost that whole, no, it's not screening anywhere kind of thing. It's like, you can't even go to L.A. to see this movie. Not a big surprise. What I find fascinating about it is in this dumping ground of nothing.
Right.
It's running unopposed. You know, this is, you'd think they'd release something.
Well, the interesting thing about this movie is the director.
Yeah.
Because the director also made The Pursuit of Happiness.
Yeah.
And 7 Pounds.
Well,
which
was terrible.
Right. But they were also, you know, big Will Smith movies, and both of those came out in December, too. So.
And there were very. This feels like just some cheesy, crummy rom-com.
Oh, yeah.
And I wouldn't call. I mean, both Pursuit of Happiness and 7 Pounds are thicker, heavier movies dealing with big, greater trends and that sort of thing.
They still have their touches of romance and drama and things like that. But yeah, they were heavier on the dramatic side. And yes.
So it just seems like an odd choice. Now, maybe when you see this movie, it might end up being heavier and thicker. I have a feeling that's what it's going to be like, that it's going to be a little bit more cut from the cloth of Pursuit of Happiness.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that they edited it to a trailer because they said, oh, it's a movie with Gerard Butler and Catherine Zeta-Jones and Jessica Biel.
And Uma a whole Thurman. Bunch of soccer moms.
Yeah. And so they're like, well, maybe we'll make it a quirky comedy. Because they do that a lot where a movie is advertised in such a way that it's not at
oh,
all
yes.
like it's
really Flight.
Is. Flight, which is not about flight.
Just saying.
It's about drinking. I have a feeling when we see Playing for Keeps, I'll probably want to drink then, too.
There you go.
So they didn't screen it. It gets a preemptive suck. That's
yes.
a contractual obligation we have with the studios that we can tell us that it sucks because they didn't show it to us. Didn't show it to us. I must be drunk now.
You could be.
I blame you and your daughter.
Seriously? I can't be blamed for your drinking problem.
Yeah. Okay.
That started long before me.
Okay. Anyways.
I blame Judd Apatow for your drinking problem.
Oh, my God. Don't even get me started on Judd. No, you will hear plenty about Judd Apatow in a couple weeks when we review This is 40. Spoiler alert, it's a terrible movie.
We might have a whole show just on that movie.
Just like why Judd Apatow is a narcissistic nepotism idiot. Anyways, but that's for
moving right along.
You're listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. It is now time for the box office prediction.
Oh, dear.
We were so close last week.
There's nothing to talk about this week.
What do you
There's
think?
Just nothing.
Are we going to have the same thing happen this week?
Are we?
Here's what I think is going to happen.
Okay, what do you think?
It's going to be Skyfall, Breaking Dawn 2, Playing for Keeps.
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
Yep.
And they're all going to be
I would agree with that.
Right around $10 million.
Okay.
I'm going to say Skyfall at 10, Breaking Dawn 2, and Playing for Keeps sort of horse racing at 9.
I'll give Skyfall 12.
12?
Yep.
Ooh. I'll write this down. KDK.
Yes,
Skyfall,
that's me. There you go.
12. And I think that that Skyfall's actually going to beat Breaking Dawn because if you look at the trajectories, Breaking Dawn's more front-loaded and it's been losing steam, which is typical for a Twilight movie.
Right, and Skyfall's been around for a while and it's still holding strong.
It's holding better. And it'll end up making more money than Breaking Dawn 2 in the long run.
I sure hope so.
Yeah, but Breaking Dawn 2 is following exactly the same trajectory as the last film. I mean, these movies aren't getting new viewers, so they're pretty much playing out exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And but Playing for Keeps, I don't know any sort of buzz on this at all. I don't know anyone who wants to see it.
No, I mean, I probably would never have heard of it if I hadn't looked it up. So.
People are saving their money this week to go Christmas shopping. If you want to buy us presents, you can send them to us. Go to fatguysofthemovies.com. We'll make sure to have an address there for you to send.
There you go.
We take anything, you know, money, cars, smartphone, human heads. Just make sure you package it properly.
Yeah. Send those to Kevin.
Okay. We got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about DVDs and Blu-rays.
Welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We have been talking about not so much this week.
No, not very many movies out.
There hasn't been much to talk about.
That's true. But you know what's funny? I was telling this, starting to tell this to Kristen during the break. I said, no, let's save this for the show because this is actually kind of funny.
Because, yeah, you wouldn't want to ruin the surprise.
Yeah, I mean, oh, gosh. Because then you'd have to act like, you'd be like, oh, really? Is that true? And you'd have to act, and it would just, the genuine nature of it would be lost.
I'm a terrible actress.
Which is why you do radio, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I remember back in October, I was doing the horror movie a day.
Yeah.
And my son, Liam, who's 11, he saw that and he thought that was kind of cool. So he said, well, I'm going to do, for Christmas, I'm going to watch a Christmas thing each day of December.
Well,
I'm assuming he's going to end on December 25th. I don't know if he's going to be watching Christmas specials until
we will
New
see.
Year's. Well, we'll see. And it's not a Christmas movie. He doesn't have to watch the whole movie. He can just, it can be just a Christmas special, you know.
So like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yeah, something that's like 22 minutes long without commercials, that counts. But he has then gone into the DVR and skipped ahead and found anything that's Christmas related and just recording. So we have 9,000 Christmas specials for everything, every single kid's show on Earth. You know, we have the Dora the Explorer Christmas. I'm like, dude, you're 11. He's like, yeah, well, you know.
You never know when you might need it.
He's got like Timmy Turner.
If he's got a slow day.
Yeah. Do you ever watch the Fairly Odd Parents?
No.
That's a cartoon, and they did a live action Christmas special.
Really?
So he taped that, and he taped Kicking It, and he taped all the stuff from the Disney Channel and Nickelodeon.
I have Phineas and Ferb. If you'd like to borrow that,
he's got Phineas. They got a new Christmas special for Phineas and Ferb. I love Phineas and Ferb.
Love.
Yes, Phineas and Ferb's awesome. So yeah, so that's what's clogging up my DVR right now. So I'm there frantically trying to watch like Sons of Anarchy episodes, trying to get space for it. Fortunately, he's recording them in just standard definition, the high def channels.
That takes up a lot of space.
Hogs space.
Yes, it does.
Like three times as much. Anyways, that I thought you'd get a kick out of that. So he's.
Yes, I'm proud of him.
You have that to look forward to as your daughter gets
older. I do, and I can't wait
to sit there and be like, "Why are we taping this? I don't even know what girl show there's going to be in
you
5 years.
You never know.
Yeah.
People have found out that I have a daughter, though. Because, you know, just like we were saying earlier, and, you know, now I'm getting things like My Little Pony all the time. I don't request these things and people sending me My Little Pony.
They're like, you have children.
You're going to watch My Little Pony.
Yeah.
Because I've watched some in the past.
Well, when I started doing DVD reviews, I remember saying to the publicist, I'm like, anything that's kids related, because I just wanted, because that stuff's expensive. I didn't want to buy it. So they started, and then finally my kids got older, and I'm like, well, I already had enough for my new kids. So then I'm just like, I just stop, and every now and then I'll still get stuff, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to watch this.
Yeah, that was one of those things. You know, some people, when they get pregnant, they put together nurseries and things like that. I started requesting kids' movies.
There you are.
So
you'll have a giant library.
Yes, and, she will have a good collection.
But see, when she's older, she's going to be like, what's this disc thing? Give me the instant download, Mom. What's your problem, Jay? Anyways, speaking of DVDs.
Yes.
What time is it?
It is time for our DVD roundup.
That's right. On Fat Guys of the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr. There is the big one this week.
The big one.
Which you may have heard of. There was this tiny little independent film this year that came out. The Dark Knight Rises is out on Blu-ray.
Now, that was a big one for me.
Yeah.
Because that one, when another pregnancy story.
Yes.
When I was told my due date. And you know, they told me that it was going to be July 1st.
Oh, okay.
And the first thing that I thought of wasn't, oh, wonderful, July, baby, blah, blah, blah. The first thing I thought was, that is awfully close to The Dark Knight Rises. And then they moved my due date to the 10th, and I was like, we are getting awfully close. Yeah. So I spent, you know, several months talking to this thing growing in my stomach saying, look, kid, if you come during the Dark Knight Rises screening, you're just going to have to hold it because I'm not going to the hospital in the middle of the screening.
And that's the last time she listened to you.
Yes.
Don't.
But she did. So, you know, she showed up on July 5th.
Yeah.
And 2 weeks later, I was there for the screening. So there you go.
That happened when I gave. Well, no, I didn't give birth.
You gave birth.
That was amazing.
Well,
yeah. No, when my
that's
wife
a story
gave,
for another week.
When my wife gave birth to my youngest son, Nick, who's 4 and a half, you know, I was like, she's like, well, when? Because it was a C-section. We're scheduling it.
Yep.
I'm like, well, as long as it doesn't interfere with the Indiana Jones screening. And then I started having to schedule, and I'm looking through the calendar, and I'm like, my wife's like, well, when should we schedule a C-section? I'm like, okay, well, I'm seeing Iron Man this date. I'm seeing this. And I'm like literally choosing my son's birthday based on the screenings.
It's pretty sad, but that's kind of how our life works.
That's right. Don't You Wish You Could Be Us. And because then we get to see movies like The Dark Knight Rises. It looks great on Blu-ray, by the way.
Does it?
Look, I mean, as much as The Dark Knight.
It doesn't surprise me.
It's fantastic. You can also get in the box set, all three movies. And if you get the Blu-ray, you get like a cowl to it. I didn't get that one.
Does it come with a Bane mask?
No, but I have a Bane mask.
I know you do.
My son says to me when I'm watching it the other day, he's like, you should wear the Bane mask. I'm like, that's hot.
Yeah.
My you know, in Bane, it's like painkillers and stuff to stop him from being in pain. Me, it's just sweat.
Yes.
It's gross.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's out on Blu-ray and DVD. There's also Beasts of the Southern Wild, which I saw.
Right. I saw that you watched that.
I enjoyed
recently.
It. It's a bit of a hard one to digest.
It is. Yes.
Very non-traditional storytelling. But I enjoyed it. I there were people like, oh, you're going to hate this. And I can see why they thought I would.
Yeah, it does surprise me that you liked it.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't love it.
Mm-hmm.
It has a great soundtrack. And it's this weird little story about how the world's kind of connected.
I'm still trying to figure out the prehistoric animals in that one.
Yeah.
But other than that, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's neat. It has some interesting things. It's a different film. But it's worth checking out.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Hope Springs. If you have not gotten your fill of old people having sex.
Oh, well, there you go. That's the best advertisement for a movie.
There's Hope Springs, which features Meryl Streep and Tommy Lee Jones as senior citizens who are having trouble with their love life, and they go to Steve Carell for counseling.
And really, why wouldn't you go to Steve Carell?
He's the 40-year-old virgin. He knows what he's talking about.
I guess so.
This was a perfectly charming movie that I had no interest in, because I'm not that old. I'm old. I'm 41. But everything still works, so.
Well, that's good to know. Right along.
Yeah. I'm not disinterested like Tommy Lee Jones was. There's also The Odd Life of Timothy Green. Did you like that?
It's okay.
I hated it.
It was, you know, it was what it was. That's one of those movies. That's how you explain that movie. It was cute.
Yeah.
And it was kind of manipulative and pushy. Kinda. And in the end, I have no idea what the point was. I watched it twice, and I still don't understand what that movie's supposed to be about.
It's about people who grow a child in their backyard.
And, you know, I watched the special features on this one, and it's interesting, you know, how in the special features people talk about, oh, you know, this is what this movie's about, and it's so important. And in this one, everybody said something different. Well, you know, it's a movie about this. And somebody else said, well, it's a movie about this. And it's a movie about finding, you know, peace. And it's a movie about accepting people for who they are. So nobody knows what this movie's about.
It has themes, but it makes no sense whatsoever.
Right.
I don't like Joel Egerton. I'm not a big fan of Jennifer Gardner. James Gardner, I would have
been
totally with on that one.
If he played a mother?
Yeah, that would have been awesome. But there's parts of it that are just dumb, but that's just me. I'm a cynical bastard, so.
Well, there's that.
I apologize. There's also VHS, which we reviewed, or I reviewed a while
you
back.
You did, yes.
Yeah. That's an interesting horror film. Anthology type thing. There's Finding Nemo.
Yes, in 3D.
Yes, in 3D. First time on Blu-ray. Such a charming little movie.
Yes, and also Up came out in 3D this week.
That's right, yeah.
So.
What's interesting with Finding Nemo, when I first saw it, I didn't like it. I just was a little unimpressed.
Yeah.
But it's one of those movies that holds up.
I agree.
Way better.
Mm-hmm.
And as you get a child, as your child gets older and then watches the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah, I look forward to that part.
You'll realize you can watch Finding Nemo 15 times in a weekend. And even though it gets tiresome, it's not as tiresome as you think it would get.
So. Good to know.
Listening to Fat Guys of the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer, we're wrapping up the DVD roundup here with a couple TV shows. Simpsons season 15. What else can you say about The Simpsons? It's a fun show.
It's 15 seasons in.
15 seasons.
Yes, by now you kind of know what The Simpsons is about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Star Trek The Next Generation season 2, first time on Blu-ray,
which is
the season where it actually started to get decent. There's the new Mystery Science Theater 3000, volume 25, which includes their films Robot Holocaust, Operation Kid Brother, Kitten with a Whip, and Revenge of the Creature. And that's it in terms of the DVD.
Also Butter. Butter is also out this week.
Again, Jennifer Gardner.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't know much about this movie. I didn't see it.
I saw it.
Stinker of the week is Fred 3, Camp Fred, which is one of the most annoying creatures on television.
Okay.
If you don't know who he is, you are a better person for it.
I don't.
Yeah. Anyways, let's talk about the review wrap-up. We were talking about Playing for Keeps gets a preemptive suck from both of us because they didn't show it to us. Take that, Hollywood.
Yeah.
Smash in the face. Hitchcock, which I think we both said kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks.
Yeah, good movie. Worth checking out. Next week, we will be talking about The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, and maybe some smaller releases, because that's the only one that's open.
Again. It's December.
Yeah. Box office predictions we had. I said Skyfall's going to be $10 million. Kristen said Skyfall's at $12 million. That's about it. We will talk to you guys next week.